get lost in you. So anyone who finds me first finds you. I wanna be one with you. Where I end, you begin and keep on going. I wanna breathe you in. So every time I breathe out, you're
Hi, I'm Mike Spaulding. Welcome to the Transforming Word radio program. I consider it a great privilege to teach God's Word to you each day. Today we will be studying in the book of 1 Timothy, where we will find many of the great doctrines of church, life, and practice spelled out. Open your Bibles and join me now for another study in the Word. My prayer is that God will transform your heart as you consider all that He speaks to you today.
And somebody can take a 30-second snippet of your life, and if it's inconsistent with the things you say you believe, they're going to discard everything you said. That's just a fact of life. Now, does that mean that we're all perfect? Absolutely. Are you kidding me? If we only called perfect people to the assembly on Sundays for our meetings, nobody'd be here, including me. But we can't just talk it and then do the opposite. There's a word for that, right? What is it? Hypocrisy. Yeah, hypocrisy. And that's a charge leveled at the church in a good many instances. When I say the church, I mean God's people. That's a charge leveled at God's people in a good many instances justly. We are hypocrites. When we say we believe something and then we live totally the opposite, the world has every right to call us on it. And I can tell you from personal experience, nothing stings harder than to have an unsaved person rebuke you. I'd rather receive 39 lashes, save one, from the Lord than to be rebuked by a lost person. That stings. Because the first thing I think about is my Lord that I let down in the eyes of this lost person. Lost people don't forgive quite as fast as our Lord and Savior. He is faithful and just to forgive if we will confess our sins and repent. Lost people, man, they'll throw that back in your face every opportunity they get. So model it, lead it by example. So, that was a little lengthier introduction than I thought, so you were right, Mary. Verse 7. Verse 7, but have nothing to do with worldly fables fit only, I apologize, for old women. On the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. Now, you can draw a contrast between verse 6 and verse 7 here. See, if we're not filling our minds with God's truth, then we're going to fill them with something else. If you're not filling your mind with God's Word, if you're not filling your mind with His praises, if you're not filling your mind thinking about Him and living for Him, if He's not directing your path, you will fill your mind with something. And I have to admit, when I was chewing on this verse, I was talking about worldly fables fit only for old women, I couldn't help but think about The View. And I apologize for putting that picture in your mind, but I thought, yeah, that boy, that epitomizes that verse right there. A bunch of cranky old women sitting around thinking they know something about something. And they don't know squat about squat. That's all I'm going to say about that. Life's like a box of chocolates. The picture here that emerges, brothers and sisters, from worldly fables, that's an interesting word there because it's the same thing. If you look back in chapter 1, verse 4, in Paul's opening to this letter, He says, don't pay attention to what? Myths and endless genealogies. That's the same word, myths, fables, here in chapter 4. It's the very same word. Now, within the context that he's using this word, it has to do with folks that were bringing in their pagan and idolatrous practices. Because remember, Ephesus was a center of paganism. It had the Temple of Diana. You remember from Acts that Paul about got beat up because they were trying to ruin the idol manufacturing trade in Ephesus. You remember that? And they got Paul out of there, but they drug Justin, I think his name was, before then. They were going to beat him up. So it has to do with bringing these pagan, idolatrous practices into the church. And most of them, folks, were centered on sexuality and sexual perversions and the like. And so Paul is pointing this out. And that phrase there, old women, that's the only place that this is used in the New Testament. It's never used anyplace else. And what he means by this is, he's not trying to be disparaging, but what he means by that is they're absurd. They're silliness. They have no place in the body of Christ, these kinds of myths and fables and practices. So he says, instead of that, notice the phrase in verse 7, on the other hand. So instead of doing those things, focusing on those things, filling your mind with those things, instead, on the other hand, what? Discipline yourself. What is that calling you to? Brothers and sisters, that's calling you to an active participation in the faith. You mean I just can't lay down at night and put my Bible under my pillow and it'll just through some kind of weird osmosis? You know, that used to be popular. I know some people that used to do that. They'd put a tape in at night of some kind of motivational stuff, and they'd let it play all night while they were sleeping, and they thought, hey, when I wake up in the morning, my head will be full with this stuff. Worldly fables. No, you need to discipline yourself. And what's the goal? What are we disciplining ourselves for? Well, the goal is what? Verse 7. Godliness. Godliness. You mean it doesn't just happen? I mean, I can't just tiptoe through the tulips and, you know, come to church and, you know, pray a couple times a week and it doesn't just happen to me? Are you kidding me? Seriously? Can you name me one other thing in life that just happens to you? Yeah, I know some of you are thinking, yeah, trouble. Does not everything in life require effort? If you want to be an auto mechanic, do you think you can just walk into a garage and say, hey, I'm here, I'm going to save your whole business. Give me a wrench, I'll show you how it's done. You don't have a clue. Do you think you can just be a teacher of the Word of God by praying and then when you get up here on Sunday morning, out, and some people believe this, in churches, meeting right now. Well, I don't do any studying. I just trust the Holy Spirit. I don't even read this during the week. I just get up there and I just open it up and just let it come out. Really? I think Paul told this very same Timothy, and we'll get to this in the next letter, study to show thyself approved, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You see, there's effort that goes into this, brothers and sisters. I don't just get up here and open the scripture on Sunday and say, okay, let's see what we got today. No, I've spent all week wrestling with this text. Lord, what do you want me to say? Now, I mention all of that so that you understand this isn't just for pastors. God calls all of us to be in His Word so that we can know Him better. If we really want Jesus to be the center of our lives, to be the path that we take, to be our guide, the fire that's in our heart, if we really, really want that, then we're going to be in the Word. We will want to. You couldn't keep us out of the Word. Does that mean you're going to study as much as I do? No, probably not. You're not all called to that. My calling encompasses this. Your calling most certainly encompasses being in the Word to some degree. So we discipline ourselves, verse 7, for the purpose of godliness. For, notice, this is going to fly in the face of modern convention. Verse 8, for bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. What has he just said? He just said that for us today, that in America, this infatuation that we have, this just being consumed with body beautiful and not being consumed with godliness, is completely unbiblical. And he isn't even calling for a balance here. Well, he calls us to take care of our bodies. Yes, he does, but he doesn't call you to take care of your bodies at the same level he says, take care of your spirit, man. Really? Well, let's read it again. For bodily discipline is only of little profit. You could be the healthiest person alive and fall over a heart attack and bust the gates of hell wide open because you didn't know the Lord. Bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness, disciplining yourself, is profitable for all things. Why? Because it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Listen, you're not going to get to heaven because you've got an hourglass figure. Hello? Now, I happen to believe when I get to heaven, I'll have an hourglass figure. But that'll be God's doing. See, I happen to believe that we're going to have perfect bodies, whatever those look like. And I'm of the opinion it's not going to look like this. I'll probably have hair. And it'll be brown like it used to be. All those years ago. And I won't be fluffy anymore. I've battled the battle of the bulge my whole life. But one day, I'm going to have a perfect body. But in the here and now, I do what I can to maintain a healthy lifestyle, but that is not my focus. My focus is on godliness. And our culture is ate up with this thing. We look at people, we start judging people just from the appearance of their bodies. Brothers and sisters, that is an abomination to the Lord. We shouldn't judge people. Not by their bodies, not by the clothes they wear. What is the spirit of a man? What is the heart of a woman? That's how the Lord looks on people. What is in their heart? So get away from that attitude. Godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Verse 9 is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance. For it is for this we labor and strive. For what? What does he mean by for this? He's talking about godliness. It is for godliness that we labor and strive. And not bodily discipline. Godliness. Spiritual discipline. Because we have fixed our hope on the living God. He is our hope. Do you know you can't do it by yourself? You can try. And I know people that try. They try to be godly by their own efforts. Listen to me. You can only be godly by fixing your hope on the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting Him explicitly. You cannot earn your way into heaven. You cannot be good enough to get there. You can only trust Him for it. Fix your hope on the living God. Notice that He's living. Is He living for you today? Is He a present reality? Or is He just the old man in the sky that you appeal to when you need something? He's the living God who is the Savior of, notice this, all men, especially of believers. Now, that's confused people over the years. They look at that and they say, see right there, I told you, in the end, everybody's going to be saved. Now, that heretic Rob Bell teaches that. It's called universalism. And, of course, now that the firestorm has fallen on him and his false teaching, now he's trying to back up. Listen, Michael Jackson, you ain't, Mr. Bell. So you can cease and desist with all the whoop trying to back up from what you said. That drives me nuts. Did I just go whoop? It came out before I realized it. Were my feet moving? I was getting into the character role. That's what it was. That drives me nuts. Listen, if you're going to say something, own it. Don't jump out there and say something so you can sell a bunch of books, and then when you get called on it, you want to back up and act like, well, that's not really what I meant. That's exactly what you meant. That's blasphemy. That's heresy. What do we need a Savior for if everybody's going to be saved? We don't need blood. We don't need Christ on the cross. We don't need to confess and repent if everybody in the end is going to be saved. See, what most people that try to defend Rob Bell and that kind of heretical teaching, they don't understand is ultimately it does away with the cross. It's a bloodless atonement. There is no such thing. Your salvation cost God the Son his life. His blood was shed. The Bible says without the shedding of blood there what? Is no remission for sin. It must be that way because God has declared it such. So he is the God who is the Savior of all men and especially all believers. Now, there are a couple of different ways to look at that. I prefer to look at it when it says the Savior of all men. He is the Savior of all men potentially. Whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. It's open. It's an open, universal invitation to whosoever will. So he's the Savior of all men potentially. But effectively, he is only the Savior of believers. See, it is only those who place their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ that we would call believers. Prescribe and teach these things, verse 11. Now, that's an interesting word there. Prescribed is from, it's a military term, and it means order. It's like, and guys and gals that were in the military, you know when a commanding officer gives you an order, you don't second guess that and say, well, now, can we talk about this? Wrong. You say what? Yes, sir. Snap off that salute and you're doing whatever it was he or she told you to do. Well, that's what this means here. Prescribe and teach these things. Paul is saying, you got to teach exactly this. There's no room for false teaching. Let no one look down on your youthfulness. Well, it's been a long time since anyone's done that to me, I can tell you. But Timothy was a young man, but he was also a young pastor. And you know, sometimes people tend to look down on younger people as if they don't know anything. How many of you have ever had the experience working in a shop or factory or wherever in your job, and you had to work for a young person, and you looked at them like, I've been here 10 years. What do you know just started last week? Is that not describing anyone? Let no one look down on your youthfulness. But rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe. So what are people expecting when they look at young people? They're expecting the opposite of proper speech and conduct, and they'll use that as an excuse to say, I ain't listening to you. So Paul says, lead by example, emphasizing once again what he said earlier. Until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching. Now, we know that he didn't make it. What he was talking about was, when I am released from this present imprisonment, I intend to come to Ephesus. So until I come, give attention. Well, he didn't make it. He was executed shortly after in 2 Timothy, which we're going to get into in 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks. Well, well, we ain't going anywhere, right? Because after all, camping was wrong. It didn't happen yesterday at 6 o'clock, right? I had somebody in the fellowship yesterday call me, Wayne, and said, it was at 7:30 in the evening, and he said, oh, I'm so glad you answered this call. I wasn't thinking in those terms at first, and I said, why? Do you have an emergency? He says, no, that means you're still here. I said, oh, my goodness. I said, oh, my goodness. I forgot all about it. I can't even tell you what I was doing at 6 o'clock. I wasn't standing on my porch looking to the eastern sky, I can tell you that. Oh, my goodness. So anyway, until I come, give attention. Notice these three things, he says, to give attention to the public reading of Scripture. Well, that's what we do, right? That's why we read the Scripture on Sundays and Wednesdays. We go through it verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book. It's the public reading of the Scripture. To exhortation. Well, exhortation really is preaching. It's exhorting people to hear, thus saith the Lord, and then to order their lives according to thus saith the Lord. That's exhortation or preaching. And some of you have even told me, boy, you broke out into preaching today, preacher boy. And then to teaching. Well, what is the difference between preaching and teaching? And that's why I characterize the ministry that God has given to me as teaching. Even though I'll confess that you're right, I do occasionally break out into preaching. And that's, you know, I get a little flushed in the face and my veins start popping out and gripping the podium and getting excited. Throw in moonwalking a couple times in there. Just for a little levity. But the difference between exhortation, preaching, and teaching. When you're teaching, you're talking about doctrine, you're talking about theology, you're unpacking it, as I like to say. You're explaining exactly what does that mean. Well, that's teaching. And so Paul says that we should give attention to those things. And don't those things characterize our meetings together on Sundays and Wednesdays? The public reading, preaching, and teaching. Do not neglect verse 14. The spiritual gift within you. How many of you know that as a believer you have spiritual gifts? At least one. And sometimes many more. You can read about those if you'd like in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14 and other passages. But everybody has a spiritual gift. Do you know the purpose of spiritual gifts? Well, the purpose of a spiritual gift, brothers and sisters, is so that you can serve the Lord within the context of a local body of believers.
I want to get lost in you, so anyone who finds me first finds you.
That's all we have time for today on the Transforming Word radio program. I hope today's study encouraged you to study the Bible for yourself. Remember, friends, faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. The Transforming Word radio program is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel of Lima. Our service times are Sundays at 10:30 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We meet at 682 West Grand Avenue in Lima. You may join all of our services live through our internet broadcast at www.ccclohio.org. Click Watch Us Live and be a part of our internet family. For more information about the Transforming Word radio ministry, write us at the Transforming Word, 682 West Grand Avenue, Lima, Ohio, 45801. When you write, please mention the call letters of this station. You may also contact me directly by email at the following address, pastormike@ccclohio.org. Join us again tomorrow for another great study in the Bible. God bless you today as you seek Him.